I am unashamed. What about you?
I think the theme of this should be memories. Nothing more than
no, because your memories are not good.
No, that's right.
No, I protest that. I didn't want to embarrass y'all. Brought that up while we had a guest on yesterday.
You're the only one that believes your memories, and I guess after you believe them for so long, they become real to you. Because you live
welcome,
in a
welcome to the podcast, Lisa. So we have some information problems. So Al has brought in another supporter.
All I did was ask people that were from our family that had to be on the podcast mm-hmm. about things you had said before,
yep.
if they remembered things you said, and they had no ready recollection of any of the facts that you brought out.
Now, so the ready recollection, y'all remember that prayer?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I've heard, I just, that's mm-hmm. popped into my mind. And look, I don't know,
Maddie remembers all of it, our technician and
so producer. Now I realize why the older churches pray for ready recollections, because if you're at an older church, now that I'm getting older,
you forget everything.
And guess what, Al, you're older than me.
I am. I need some ready
Papa Phil is older than both of us.
He can't remember. So, he can't remember his past love of macaroon.
I forget more than I retain.
Ready recollection has exited the building. However,
the old coots, they recognize that.
No,
the
I know.
The old brothers.
Yeah, I think we are old coots. However, we had a guest on, what was that, two podcasts ago? We do so many podcasts, it all runs together.
We've had a lot of guests on.
And I was challenged about my memory. When I shared one of my traumatizing events as a kid, living on the riverbank with not much going on. And so Willie, I think, was a guest.
He was.
He challenged said incident. Well, why would Willie know the arrangement that my mom and I had at that age?
Well, I mean, he's only 2 years younger than you. I just thought he might know about that.
We're going back 40, 50 years here. So that memory happened. That was, it's not up for
debate. He did remember a Miami Dolphin phase, but what he said was, I can't remember. I do remember something about the Miami Dolphins, he said, but I don't remember if that was Jay's or me. That's the way he put it.
That's what I'm saying. That's the dumbest recollection I've heard. I can say that because he's my brother and I love him. So my mom and I had a conversation. Willie wasn't there. And in a moment of frustration, my mom said, there will be no Christmas this year. We're not doing it. We don't have, there's no money. Santa Claus is not coming. I was devastated. And then she set the perfect trap. Because when the Miami Dolphin stuff showed up on Christmas morning, I then thought Santa Claus must be real.
Until she said there's no Santa Claus.
Well, she did say that, but I'm glad she said that because I passed that on to my kids.
How old were you, 12? I mean, I think it was about time for you to not believe in Santa Claus at 12.
That's probably somewhere between 8 and 12.
Yeah, well.
I mean, we could look up the Dan Marino. I was in, but he played a long time. So
was it the Marino era?
Well, that's what drew me in. So
well,
anyway,
a lot of people never tell their kids that there's a Santa. A lot of people think that's dishonest to tell your kid that.
I had
a
lot of interesting feedback, which is what got Jace in trouble. So yeah. So that carried on. You didn't hear the conversation.
I didn't. Huh?
So then Jace relayed this to Missy. And that brought up some old wounds because Jace had apparently relayed this same thing to Cole when he was even younger, and that led to a lot of issues with them. Yeah. And so,
I mean, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying.
Then I got in trouble for laughing about it.
A lot of people say that.
Well, so if y'all are listening, which I assume you are,
which we hope you're listening.
Let me give you the backstory on this. What caused this is right before they said rolling. I didn't realize it was April. I mean, so thus
well, it's only Jace is only April,
and I wasn't aware that we had changed months. That doesn't mean, you know, a whole lot. I don't look at calendars.
Except that it's your wife's birthday month.
Well, that's what scared me, because then I thought, oh, it's April. And so we have a lot of birthdays this month.
Yeah. In fact, when we used to do the show, we would get off a week, always a production, which was always great, because we have Willie and Missy share a birthday. And then Dad's birthday is that same week, which, Dad, I know you're excited.
And then Si.
And then Si has a birthday the same
But week. I'm saying at some point.
I was born on the 24th. He was born on the 27th.
So. Correct. And then 22nd is Missy.
Two years apart. Two years.
So in the spirit of memories being gone, or fuzzy, let's just be positive.
Right.
It's fuzzy. There should come a point where we're no longer celebrating another year.
Right? Well, Dad's pretty much there. You don't really.
You remember when you told me that? You said, you can quit telling me happy birthday. I was like, okay. It was an awkward conversation.
Well, there's nothing happy about a birthday. If you don't believe it, just wait till you get to be about 75 or 80.
Well, there is something happy. You at least woke up that day. You know, you're on.
Miss K is at the stage.
You're on the top soil.
Where this happens all the time. Every 5 minutes, it's, what day is it? I'll tell you. Well, Tuesday, podcast day.
Well, really?
Less than 5 minutes later, she said, what is today? And I said, same one it was about 5 minutes ago. 5 minutes later, what day is it? Yeah. I said, she'll get it, I believe, in a minute. But it's
that's why this theme of Jesus, you know, being the same yesterday, today, and forever, it actually has more meaning, or it should, the older you get.
Well, apparently in Mom's case, you get to celebrate it every 5 minutes.
To make your what you just said, identify what this is about, this latest book of mine.
Oh, man. Boy. You've been busy, Phil. When do you work on the book? What hours in the day?
This is a year.
I know, but I just wondered, when is your go-to time?
You wake up early.
You can't tell.
It comes and goes.
But, you know, we said Jesus is I am. I just noticed before we ever got into all that about the I am passages. Look, he alone, he is.
For those of you listening, Phil, this is
the new book, and it's all about Jesus. I was stunned. There is so much written about one person and so many accolades.
No, that's good. That's a great deduction. Oh, conclusion.
It is amazing. So I have a book that's coming out.
Let me tell the audience what you're doing, because they're not watching. So Phil held up a handwritten, I guess this is the handwritten notes of the book.
It's it. Handwritten notes of the book. This is 1 year of me just jotting down a thought about who Jesus is.
Basically illegible hieroglyphics.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy.
No one could read this.
Somewhere in there, I am made it. I just wrote beginning and end of everything and everyone. I mean, you put these things together and you're like, well, I've never heard of an individual being like that, ever. So I'm trying to get people hooked on to at least investigating Jesus. So that's one of them, time marker, 2024.
Yeah, time revolves around him, not vice
versa. That's it.
The resume of Christ, yeah. So we're excited about that. That's going to be at some point later this year, which we're looking forward to. So we have Lisa on the podcast today, which we're excited. It's good to have her in town. She came in town for Easter, which you mentioned on the last podcast that we had a big Easter feast at our house, which was great fun.
That was well done. I remember that.
That was memorable. Dad, you still remember that one.
We seem to remember food.
Yeah.
Some of us do.
At least initially.
Now, for the record, I didn't like the 40-minute delay for one dish. So.
Well, it was worth it.
It was very good, but 40 minutes is A wise man once said, the longer it sits there, the worse it gets.
Well, a wise woman once said, you need to sit in the living room, and whenever it's time to eat, we'll call you.
That's what I did.
Now, that's old school thinking right there. I like that, baby.
I actually was forced, after eating, I was forced to go in and just make an announcement. These people now, you know how to cook. I gave him my seal of chef.
We got the dad.
I missed that announcement.
Yeah, you missed that. The dad gave us the official Phil Robertson seal of, I now say that my patronage can cook. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty good. He passed that on.
I didn't have to go back and say, I remember the time when you didn't know how to cook.
Yeah. I'm glad you left that out.
It's positive. Yeah. I just said, this right here, this is excellent cooking.
It was
fantastic,
which was good passing of the torch. So a couple of things I want to mention before we go to break, because we got a special guest we're adding in. Not that you're not a special guest, Lisa, but we have another guest coming on. I want to mention that our merch we've been talking about, because we have our cups here, our Unashamed cups. I'm wearing one of our shirts today, which says God Reliant, Not Government Reliant. Which we like. That's one of our Unashamed shirts.
It's good for my book.
Yeah, there you go. We'll add that to it, Dan. So you go to philmerch.com whenever you want to check out some of our Unashamed merch that we wear sometimes on the podcast. Also, I've got an event coming up that I want to let you know about, because by the time this podcast airs, it'll just be a couple of days after. It's in Greenville, South Carolina. It's going to be at the Christian Learning Centers at the Greenville Convention Center on Tuesday, April 25th. So you go to clcofgreenville.org if you want to check in to get tickets for that event. So I try to let you know ahead of time, because I know, as Jay said, the amazing thing about when we travel now is the one consistent is that there are people everywhere we go now that listen to Unashamed. And so we love it when we can meet you. You know, tell us what you like about the podcast and stuff like that, which is amazing. So today we're going to take a break, but on the other side of the break, one of our, I guess it's, I'm going to say, and I'll explain this once he comes on, but it is our second favorite Aggie is going to be on our podcast, Sean Carney from 40 Days for Life. And so we'll explain what that means when we bring Sean on the podcast. So let's take a break. On the other side, we'll have Sean come on the podcast. So, Jace, tell us a little bit about how important it is to have a clean weapon when you're entering the field.
Great marksman never blames his weaponry. And part of that process is keeping it clean, especially in Louisiana where it rains a lot.
Yeah.
So,
as you get out there and you get rain, you get weather, you get all this stuff, I mean, you can definitely have some problems, right?
Exactly.
And so
nobody puts firearms through the ringer like you guys do. I mean, I've actually
used my shotgun on several occasions, unfortunately, as a boat paddle.
when the motor fails.
Yeah, that's all I had. So that a good cleaning was done after that process.
So Zach, some new sponsors, which are super excited about, the guys at Barrel Buddy. You and I got on a phone call with them and talked to them and tell the audience that when we first got on the call with them, what's the first thing they did?
They said, you guys mind if we pray? And, of course, we're like, have you seen Duck Dynasty? we don't mind at all. But, these guys are – look, I mean, the product's amazing. I mean, it really is a superior cleaning product when it comes to cleaning guns. But also, these are just great guys who really share a vision for the kingdom like we do. So we wanted to get behind them for multiple reasons. But, yeah, they're just down to earth – good guys that have kind of built, trying to build their dream here with this company. I think they have something incredible.
Yeah. And they told us the story, you know, they were out in the field and like all of us, they had toilet paper and everything else. They're trying to clean their weapons in bad weather and, you know, just didn't work well. And so, you know, most products for this have been patches or ropes and all the different things. And there's just a lot of drawbacks to all those products. They've come up with something that works really well. We love it, and we understand that cleaning our guns is important for any responsible gun owners. We know there's a lot of gun owners out there that love to shoot, love to hunt, that are a part of the Unashamed audience. So we want you to check them out. It's a new concept. It's a better way to take care of your firearms. We know you're going to love them. So go to barrelbuddy.com BarrelBuddy.com today. That's BarrelBuddy, BarrelBuddy.com today, and check them out. All right, welcome back. Sean Carney, welcome to Unashamed.
Good to be back. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back. We appreciate you guys supporting us. We've been doing your ads now for several podcasts in a row and talking a lot about what you guys are doing at 40 Days for Life. So we feel like we've got a great partnership with you guys. So we appreciate you a lot.
Well, it's helping, especially, you know, it's almost coming up on a year in June that they overturned Roe v. Wade, and 40 Days for Life has just grown so much. You know, we lose some locations for the best reason, which is an abortion facility closes where we have one of our peaceful vigils, and that happened, but we've actually gained U.S. cities this year, and I think y'all played a role in that for sure.
That's awesome.
I was curious about where the name came from. I speculated maybe on the previous podcast.
I think you actually speculated during an ad. We were talking about the 40 days, and so we speculated that it might be out of some of the biblical references to 40 days, but maybe you can tell us about that, Sean, because we didn't really...
It's biblical. Yeah. it's not some other kind of trendy reasons, but really because when we started 40 Days for Life in College Station, Texas, it was kind of desperation because the abortion numbers were going up, our volunteers were going down, we had no momentum. And so we were really desperate, and that led us to prayer, and that led us to just going all in for 40 days, as our Lord did in the desert, and as God continuously uses that time period. And lo and behold, it worked. So we saw our local abortion numbers drop by 28% during the first 40 Days for Life campaign, and that was 2004, and then we launched it nationally in 2007.
And that's what we talked about, was that idea of 40 days of fasting and prayer. And some of the more famous ones, of course, you talked about Jesus. There was another Elijah, Moses. There's some really famous 40-day segments and 40-year segments as well. And Jace, you talked about Jesus' 40-day appearance post-resurrection,
That's what I was going to bring up. So this started from 40 days of prayer and fasting out of desperation, which is awesome. But then you could, just in your marketing campaign.
Oh, here we go. Here's some marketing ideas from Jason.
The Lord has heard that prayer, and now you're giving many convincing proofs that these little ones are alive. I mean, that's what I thought of that verse in Acts 1, where after his suffering, this is post-resurrection, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days. And spoke about the kingdom of God. So, you heard my story with us taking in a baby at 2 days old. And because of a ministry that my wife was doing with the mom, and then years later we get a call from the authority saying, this woman has signed over her baby to you. And I think my wife said, when God throws you a pass, you catch it. But I spent a lot of time in Matthew 18 talking, thinking and meditating on this comparison that Jesus made to becoming like little children, because they're the greatest in the kingdom of God. But the more I read there, and when he made the analogy of, if you have 100 sheep and you lose one, but it was in the context of not losing one of these little ones. And so now that's turned into a sermon, but when I read that in Acts 1, 3 and 4, that's what I was thinking. He was resurrected, showing that, he has a power, but he was also, speaking about the kingdom of God, and from his lips, it starts with our children.
Yeah. And here we are at post-resurrection in the Easter season. And that is actually talking about the lost sheep. After a 40 Days for Life campaign ends, which we just had over 600 cities conclude before Holy Week, that's when the abortion workers have a conversion. That's when they kind of reach back out. Because at the start of the campaign, they want us dead. They're like, get out of here. We don't, they think we're there to judge them. And then over time, they really warm up and there's a relationship there. We've helped 247 abortion workers have a conversion and leave. And that typically happens now. It happens in the weeks following the conclusion of a 40 Days for Life campaign. So we're definitely there, obviously, for the babies, for the women, but we're also there for the lost sheep, the abortion workers.
Which I love that whole encompassing ministry focus. And I've always thought about it, that passage, Sean, that talks about, you know, we don't fight with weapons of the mm-hmm. world, but we're fighting with weapons that demolish strongholds, you know, and these are strongholds. And so that's why I love the idea that it really is spiritual warfare. And you guys have latched onto that and the idea. And then when you see some of the successes, you started right there in, you know, College Station. And when you see Abby Johnson and you see some of the people that God has used now to be voices that are so powerful and so strong, I mean, I see all that coming out of that spiritual warfare, and yet you're seeing new warriors that are on the front line. And, you know, Lisa and I are obviously in this world. That's why I wanted her to be on the podcast today, because, you know, we cross paths with Abby and others who are out there, you know, in this stream. And so it's really been amazing for us to continue to see people that get added to the front line of different places. And, you know, it really is a spiritual warfare and a spiritual battle.
We're in 1,500 cities, okay, in 64 countries. And the front lines are led by those who have had an abortion. I mean, 25% of our local leaders are women who have had an abortion. It's one of my favorite statistics. And it just shows, you know, it's not a bunch of self-righteous Christians running out and casting people to hell. It's the opposite. The pro-life movement is a movement of sinners, all of us. But it's a movement of converts. It's a movement of people who don't have some distant relationship with abortion, but doctors who have done abortions, women who have had an abortion, men who have coerced or paid for an abortion. Those are the most powerful voices in the pro-life movement. And we see that at 40 Days for Life directly with our local leaders. So it's a beautiful thing. And it's why we're winning. I mean, if you have a movement of converts, you have a movement of hope, and it's why we're winning hearts and minds, especially in a post-Roe world.
So I said said before you came on the tease that you're our second favorite Aggie, and because
who's beating me out?
All right, so our favorite Aggie has to be our cousin Tracy Lee, who is size.
Oh, okay, it's family. It's
size,
family.
Size
okay.
Daughter is Tracy Lee,
also known as the eighth wonder of the world.
The eighth wonder of the world.
She came allegedly.
So
she did.
So the reason we love Tracy so much, she graduated from A&M, and Jace is right. We call her the eighth wonder of the world, and we say this in front of size, so it's not like we're talking behind his back, and he laughs every time we tell the story. So the reason we call her that is because, so she goes to A&M, she was a 4.0, so she's brilliant.
Oh, I didn't have that.
She's brilliant.
I didn't have that.
In fact, she was going to be a doctor originally, but I forgot what her degree is, but she's very, very smart.
Well, she's a teacher now.
Yeah, she's a teacher. She's brilliant, but she's also beautiful.
Yeah.
And
she was a model.
She was a model.
Yeah.
And so
I wasn't a model either. I'm getting killed on this.
So now you understand why you're number two.
She's my favorite Aggie. I don't even know her.
And so you say, well, what? Why do you call it the eighth one in the world? Because she's Cy's daughter, yeah. And she's beautiful and she's brilliant. And you start wondering, how does
she's
this
articulate? She's
something.
Funny.
Something went wrong in the gene pool.
Something happened.
No, well, I think it just shows that God has a sense of humor.
I think so, too. And either that or, because she was born in Germany, yeah. Either that or somewhere in the German countryside, there's a woman.
Don't go down
that looks like Cy.
That looks like Cy, and nobody can figure out why she doesn't fit in. That could be the other alternative option.
Yeah, because she's blonde-haired and blue-eyed.
She is blonde-haired and blue-eyed.
Yeah.
But no, when you see her pictures growing up, she looks enough like the Robertsons.
Oh, yeah. She has the same smile as Cy.
But we do have a good time with that. And Si laughs every time we tell that story because he agrees.
You got to have a good time with that.
Which is
it's good. There's no need for a blood test. That she looked like y'all when she was a kid. That counts.
Well, we always tell her she's weird enough that she fits in the Robertson. That's so right. that works out
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk. We got several things we want to talk about today, Sean. But one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, because currently there's a huge controversy about the abortion pill. And, you know, it was already like a lot going on with it, but like currently there's a lot going on because there's been a ruling first in Texas. And I think now there was a counter ruling. And so there's a lot of questions going on about it, but just tell the audience a little bit about it. Lisa and I sort of, you know, started to learn about it when we were in Iowa, I think last year. We didn't realize how prevalent it was, but tell the audience just a little bit about how easy it is for people to get it, kind of what's going on with it. Because a lot of people have no idea. They're still assuming the only way to get an abortion is go to an abortion clinic and have a procedure done. So tell us a little bit about the pill and kind of what's going on with this current climate. So Jace, do you know how healthy your liver is?
I'm pretty sure it's doing pretty good. I never liked liver as a kid because that's all we could afford to eat, is what my mom said.
You know, when you ate liver, it always smelled so good when it was frying, but then you ate it. Mm.
Yeah, but in a nice pivot, the well-being of my liver is something that I would like to be, you know, on the up and up.
Well, liver is very important. So I didn't really know until Liver Health Formula became one of our sponsors, Jace, that the American Heart Association indicates that adults with fatty liver were 3.5 times more likely to have heart failure than those without. Hmm. So not good for the heart. And about 100 million Americans have fatty liver.
Tell us how to have lean liver.
That's about a third of us, and my liver enzymes were up on my last check. I'm not really shocked because I've discovered that a fatty liver, Zach, must go with a fatty everything else when it comes to me. Now, you had your liver enzymes were up a little bit as well, I understand. Is that true?
They were, but I could have been sick.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't know if mine was a result of me being
I like the
fat.
Way you're saying you're not fat like me, but that's okay.
Tell us how to have lean livers, Al.
So Zach and I are trying this product. I've started taking it this past 2 weeks, and so I'm excited to go back and check my numbers because I'm sure that this product is going to help get my liver enzymes down, and hopefully I'm going to lose a few pounds as well on top of that. So we're going to try to get this fat-burning metabolism going, boost my energy, transform how I look and feel. I'm trying right now this Liver Health Formula. I've received my free bottle. I'm taking a blood sugar formula as well. That's going to reduce my sugar cravings. So I've ordered this. I encourage you to do the same. 100 million Americans. So I'm sure there's a few in our audience that have the same struggles as me. Try Liver Health Formula by going to getliverhelp.com/unashamed. Get your free bonus gift today. That's getliverhelp.com/unashamed.
Okay, so what it's not is Plan B, the morning after pill or emergency contraception. That's not what we're talking about. This is a chemical abortion, or also called a medical abortion. It's real simple. It's a series of two pills. The first pill poisons and kills the baby. The second pill causes the woman to, it induces contractions and she passes the baby. She can pass the baby in her apartment, at the prom, at a movie theater. We've heard all sorts of stories. These make up half the abortions, okay, in our country. So the way we got this was not voting or anything else. It was approved by the FDA in 2000. A number of women died. One wonderful woman, Holly Patterson, who had an abortion. Her parents didn't know. Her dad is a saint. He started leading the crusade of how shameful it is that the FDA approved these dangerous abortion drugs. He, of course, was ignored. And, you know, we've had these now for 23 years in our country. What that judge in Texas did, God bless him, is basically go back and stop these from being distributed because he cited that the FDA did not follow their proper guidelines of approving a drug for this in 2000. And he also said that they ignored all negative data and research on the side effects. One in four women go to the ER, by the way. The largest study we have on chemical abortions, it's over 17 years. It's 500,000 women. One in four went to the ER. So what the FDA did in January was tell Walgreens and CVS, yeah, y'all can distribute these. They gave no guidelines. Wow. They didn't acknowledge that it's illegal in 20 states. They ignored all of that. And so we sent a letter to Congress asking if they investigate the FDA, and then 20 attorney generals around the country from different states immediately said they sent similar letters, and Walgreens actually bailed in those 20 states immediately. So there's all this back and forth that can kind of get confusing, but what people need to know is that these chemical abortions can kill a baby up to 10 weeks. Almost all of them stop the heartbeat of a baby because of when they're taken. And it's a brutal, it's not, some people want to think that the abortion industry wants us to think this is like your college buddies who go out and drink too much and get up and take an Advil the next day and just, oh, it's no big deal. That's not what this is. This is a brutal process. If you saw Unplanned, the movie, you saw that. But the woman, we've heard the testimonials. They all say, oh my word, it's a baby. I mean, they see the baby pass. So the psychological, much less spiritual ramifications are through the roof.
And I think another thing too, Sean, is from what I've been reading is that now it is so available that a girl may not even know how far along she really is.
Right.
Whenever she takes
right.
these.
And there's also no regulation. Like, can I go and buy these and sell it on the street? Can I go to Sacramento and to Walgreens and buy them and pick them up at my Walgreens in Texas where chemical abortion's illegal? The FDA gave no guidelines on that. They completely ignored the Supreme Court giving the states the right to regulate abortion. And so it's really... sadly, it's just how another way that our government and many in the media have just made abortion their sacrament since last June. It's a complete overreach. We see it with the DOJ. We see it with the FDA. We see it with the Pentagon now paying for military travel for abortions. And so, you know, long term, I think they're all going to be on the wrong side of history. But for now, there's all this back and forth. Yeah. But what's good about what the judge in Texas did is it will end up going back to the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. So we have a chance at actually making all chemical abortions and getting them all banned because of this new lawsuit.
And that's what it seems like to me. It's kind of like this thing is a whack-a-mole sort of a way that this is going to happen, because these, I call them Trojan horses, they just keep popping up. And so you're just going to have to keep dealing with this. This is what's going to happen. And they keep looking for it. And that was another thing I was going to ask you about, because even states like ours, so Louisiana, you know, came out with a strong, you know, anti-abortion state. But then, you know, then we come back the next year and we're like, well, you know, now we're going to start talking about exception bills. And here we go, you know, and I feel like, you know, I feel like some of this stuff is Trojan horse oriented, because it's like once you start opening back into the exception arena, it really just becomes a way to start having access to abortion again. And again, we can all debate about exception, but I you know, my conversations I've had with some lawmakers, I just get the feeling that they're trying to open the door back to abortion. Because then when you, even with rape and incest, which is supposedly the only thing they're talking about in Louisiana, but what does that even mean? I mean, I know what the words mean, but what does it mean in practicality? You get a young woman, say, well, it wasn't consensual, and say, oh, okay, well, you know, this woman says it wasn't consensual, so this opens the door for abortion again. So I'm just, I'm fearful, like everything else, the minute we say, okay, we can do this, then we're going to start doing it full board. I mean, it just, I feel like that's the way it is. I mean, am I wrong in that, or is that kind of typically the way it tends to work with this topic?
No, it's how we got here. I mean, that's how they sold it in 1973. Is that, you know, no, this is just for rape victims, or this is just for this. And then we ended up with 1.2 million abortions a year at the height. And so it is, because it's, was it consensual? Or you can have health of the mother, which health can be, are you nervous about having a baby? Which I think everybody on earth is. We've had eight babies, and all of them, you know, you're a little nervous. That's how they get in the door. It is the Trojan horse. But places like Louisiana and Texas, and they're just going to start to see their abortion facilities close, because it's still market driven. And you don't need to do abortions. You need to do a lot of abortions to keep an abortion facility open. We ended up closing one of the facilities in Baton Rouge a few years ago. We closed one in Shreveport. We closed one in Bossier City. And now, post Roe, with Louisiana, just their current laws, you'll be abortion free, essentially, like Texas and Missouri and Tennessee. So, but that is how they will try to reintroduce it, or they'll try to bring in chemical abortions. And that's exactly what's happening. By the way, the whole lawsuit with the chemical abortions that judge we're talking about, that was brought on by doctors. It was brought on by physicians. They're the ones who sued and said, this goes against the Hippocratic Oath. We say, do no harm. And that's how they won, saying that the FDA is just ignoring the Hippocratic Oath. So really smart tactic. But there's a lot of good news out there, but there's a lot. The abortion advocates have lost their mind on so many fronts. Yeah. We were not talking about infanticide a few years ago. We're not talking about denying health care to a baby who survives an abortion. And now those are just standard positions for the abortion industry. And they wouldn't have gone near that a few years ago. And so, you know, we're just going to keep going, keep growing, keep praying. And but we're going to see a lot of abortion facilities in our country close over the next 12 months.
Which is a good thing, but you're right. It has sort of hardened the bound lines for the other side, and they're certainly much more vocal than they've ever been. So we just had Sean on the podcast from 40 Days for Life, and to tell us a little bit more about what these guys are doing, having a huge impact around the world with their ministry. You know, just kind of on the front lines of this fight for life, learned a lot about the abortion pill and just sort of all the new ways that, you know, Satan has invented to take life. And it's terrible. And so we want to be involved in the fight as well. They have 1 million volunteers, 1,500 cities. They're the largest pro-life organization that's out there. And they have these 40-day peaceful vigils, and they just had one of these 40-day runs that just ended. And so he told us that they'd saved over 23,000 babies. They've helped convert 247 abortion workers, which is incredible. And so we really love these guys and what they're doing. We want to support them, be a part of what they're doing. So we want you to check out their locations, their podcast. They have a free magazine that you can get at their website, 40daysforlife.com. Stay updated on what they're doing. Find out how you can be involved. Check them out, 40daysforlife.com. That's 40daysforlife.com. So one of the things, Bea, I want you to talk a little bit about, because obviously you're only one of us out of the group speaking today that has experienced this. And that's one of the things we talk about a lot when we go on the road. But a lot of this is about women's health. And so some of what Sean's been talking about is how unhealthy abortion is for women. And you talk about that when we speak on the road. And so I don't know that you've spoken about that on the podcast, but I mean, you experienced a lot of health problems as a result, especially in relationship to having children. So speak a little bit to that, just the procedure itself and how damaging it was for you, not in both mentally and physically.
Right.
Just speak a little bit to that, because I think it's important for people to know from someone who's experienced it what you've had to live with.
Well, I would say probably as far as health goes, and Sean is right with that, you know, when you say the health of the mother, I mean, it should be the life of the mother. You know, if you're going to pass something, it should be the life of the mother. But the mother should be able to choose. I mean, we know somebody who chose their child over their own life.
She gave her life,
literally. She gave her life for her child because she would not have an abortion, you know? But just for, I'll just speak just from me. Health-wise, I had 3 pregnancies after I had my abortion. My first pregnancy, our daughter, Anna, was a 29-and-a-half week baby. Mm. And she weighed 1 pound and 15 ounces. She was 12 inches long. I mean, you gotta look at what happens afterwards. So our second, who is Alex, who is here in the studio with us, Alex almost came 4 months early. We were able to carry her to term, and I lost the third baby. There was something, Sean, I believe, that they did to me that day in that procedure that caused my body to not be able to carry those babies to term. There's no history of anything in my family of people having premature babies, you know? And so I believe that is, you know, what happened to me. But then not only that, there is research now that shows that women who have abortions are more susceptible to have breast cancer. Because whenever you become pregnant, your body starts producing milk glands for you to feed a baby. And for you to just cut that off, where are those cells going to? So then the cells, you know, attack the body. Mental health. You know, we were looking at the magazine that came, I think it might have been last month's magazine, and one of the protesters had on there, "I still regret my abortion." That was your magazine, Sean. And
she's a leader. She's a leader. Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful lady.
And so just the mental health of it, I really believe that it affects your relationship with people, like with your husband, with your family, with your children, you know, because there is a mental block there because you have taken a life. And not only one life. Sean, this is something that I've never heard a lot of people talk about, but whenever you have an abortion, you're not taking just one life. You are taking a generation of lives. So what I did was I took the life of my child, but I also took the future of my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. I mean, so it's not just one life, and we've got to think about that. So the mental part of that, it takes years to get over, and I had to do it through my relationship with Christ. I don't know how people do it who do not have a close relationship with Christ. I don't know how they would ever, I don't know how they would ever recover from something like that. You know, I just I believe that Christ is the one that set me free. And of course, you know, the pregnancy resource centers out there and some others, you know, give classes, post-abortive classes just for this, just for these women who need this healing in their life. But it affects you mentally, and it affects your self-esteem. It affects every part of you. And of course, it also, you know, how your body can fight against itself. I believe that's part of the mental illness that some of these women are now fighting, is because of the guilt and the shame and the regret of what they did. I mean, and some people, it's not just one. Some people, it is several abortions that they've had. I mean, just different books that I've read, you know, about women realizing that was a life. I mean, and I took a life of my child. You know, the one girl that Abby talks about, she looks back and I can't remember the exact number, but she was having another abortion. She asked to see what they were actually taking out of her. They showed it to her and she went berserk.
It was like 9 or 10.
Yeah. Because she said, these were my babies. You told me this was a glob of tissue. These were actual babies. I mean, so you got to think about her mental psyche. So what's that like now? You know, of course, if you have a relationship with Christ, he can redeem you and he can help you with that shame and that guilt. And, you know, the post-abortive classes are very good to help you with that because they all center around Christ. But, I mean, people will not take into account that it's not just, you're not just getting rid of a problem, so to speak, is what they call it. So you're not just doing that. You're putting your life at risk. I was reading a story the other day about these girls now who are getting those pills. They have no idea how far along they are. They take the pills and then something happens because they could be a lot farther than 10 weeks. And they're having to be rushed to the emergency room. I mean, it's not smart. And whenever we were talking about this morning, I started looking up verses in Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, and who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. If that does not describe the pro-abortion side, I don't know what does, because that's what they're seeking evil. Because to kill a child is evil. Look, to kill any child is evil. Whether it's, you know, in the womb or outside the womb. But it's tough. The mental part is tough.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
So, Sean, speak to that, kind of what Lisa addressed, just from her perspective of her experience and kind of what you see in dealing with this all the time.
It's very, very typical. And I know a lot of women are grateful for Lisa because they don't have the words, or they're not able to articulate it as well as she is. It's also obviously something hard to share. And Lisa's one of the best at sharing it and sharing it frankly. But it's typical. And it shows abortion, it's not built on women's rights or liberty or freedom. It's all built on pain. No woman grows up wanting an abortion. They don't get out of their car and stomp their foot and say, I'm free, and storm in and have an abortion. They're very broken. That's one of the reasons we're there before, during, and after their abortion, or before, during, and after they choose life. But that, our body language, it's one of the tremendous things about participating in 40 Days for Life is you're the first person a woman sees after an abortion, minutes after. And your body language, what you say, what you don't say, has a tremendous and profound impact on them. And they often come back and thank us. Thank you for not judging me. Thank you for offering hope and healing. Thank you for telling me that this wasn't the end, because I believed that day that it was. And that's such a beautiful side of our ministry and what we do at 40 Days for Life. But abortion's built on pain. It's built on pain and regret. Half of all the abortions in our country are repeat abortions. And so it's very important that we be there, that we offer hope and healing after an abortion. And that women know that it's not the end. There is forgiveness in Christ. There is hope. And the devil just attacks him right after the abortion. He's tempter, and then he's accuser. And right afterwards, you can see that they're so distraught. There's no relief. And that's really what there should be, technically on paper, is relief. But that's what they promise, but it's a lie, as Lisa said. And there's no relief in the parking lots of abortion facilities, that's for sure. So it's one of the beautiful things I love about what the pro-life movement does is help post-abortive women. And also, there's just zero help on the other side. I mean, once you have the abortion, they're done with you. And that's what's so dangerous about these pills. That's what's so dangerous about just deregulating this abortion industry and creating just the wild west of abortion. It's so reckless and dangerous. But it's why we fight and get up and go to work every day.
Yeah, and I think it's exposed, you know, the lie for what it is. And I think I've said before in front of audiences that I think it's one of the reasons why that we've experienced a lot of victory, not just in the movement, but a lot of victory in Christ, is because it really is about love versus not love. And you're right, Sean. I mean, I think it's shown up a lot of the evil one's presence here, because there's been a lot of boldness in the other side. I mean, they've talked about the economics. I mean, many famous people from the other side of this have just been very bold about saying, this is just about money. I mean, this is just about women in the workplace. And, you know, these children are a burden, so just get rid of them. And I've been stunned at some of the logical arguments for abortion now.
The environment that came up. Bernie Sanders said it'll help the environment if we do more abortions. And you're sitting here going, hey, you're kidding, right? Like, are you serious? You know, that part has come out. And look, we're in a man's world when it comes to abortion. I mean, it is. Most abortion facilities are owned by men. Most abortion doctors are men. No one benefits, really, except for bad men. They're the only winners in abortion. I mean, they don't have to lay on the table. Nobody benefits more than an irresponsible bad man in abortion. And we just see that, and we see the lie. You see it with the transgender movement, you know, which benefits men. Now we're winning women's sports. We're winning all their Women of the Year awards. And somehow we say we're doing all this striving for equality, and it's a total joke. But I will say that in the pro-life arena, it is one of those cultural fronts that we're winning. There's no reason, you know, we have abortion-free states. We'll have abortion-free regions. I think the rhetoric and how loud and how insane it's gotten on the other side is just further proof that they were ill-equipped for the overturning of Roe, because now it goes back to hearts and minds. And that's what we've been working on for many people longer than I've been alive, for 50 years since we've had legalized abortion, is hearts and minds. And that's the strength of the pro-life movement, the pregnancy centers, things like 40 Days for Life, things that are built from the ground up and built to last. And we have that, and the abortion industry doesn't. And it's something that we need to be grateful for and know that this is a winnable battle.
Yeah, I think for a long time it was just a matter of smoke and mirrors and changing terminology. But, you know, lately, think about the last probably even less than a decade, they continued to change terminology so much it became a joke. You know, it went from women's health to reproductive justice to now stuff is comical, and to the point of where you just like, what does that even mean? And so you're right. You lose the argument after a while because it doesn't even make sense anymore. And so I think now it's just exposed it for what it is. It's just, and you're right. I've never heard anybody put it that way. Bad men. or really benefit. The ones that have taken have been the greatest beneficiaries. That's fantastic, because and that's true. And yet so many women defend it. I mean, you know, women of power.
That's the best part. If you're the bad man, I mean, you don't even have to advocate for yourself. They'll do it for you. It's really it's kind of a scam. And I think we're waking up to that. And there's also so many resources now for women. And we didn't have that. We're just at such a good place right now. But I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. We see the sort of the targeting of the DOJ among pro-life Americans and Christians and Catholics. And, you know, we're going to see our government overreach kind of increase. I know we've spent more money on lawyers this year than any other year, just defending free speech and the right to assemble. We're suing New York right now because they're just trying to ban 40 Days for Life from being out in public. And so you just can't do that. So, you know, we're having to get in the serious but also comical lawsuits to defend free speech. And I just think that's, look, Reconstruction in our country was messy. There are a lot of people that wanted to go back to slavery, saying this is a disaster. And we just have a lot of people right now that are sprinting to be on the wrong side of history. And so I do think it'll get worse before it gets better.
So we're out of time, but I want to explore that a little bit more and have your story as well in the overtime. Sean, if you'll hang with us, we have a little overtime segment, because I want to explore a little more about that free speech. You and I texted yesterday, and the free speech issue is a big part of this, because they're attempting to take that away. And so I want to explore that a little bit in overtime, if you don't mind staying over with us. If you want to follow us over to hear a little bit more from Sean about that, blazetv.com/unashamed. Sean, it's always a pleasure having you on Unashamed, and we appreciate it. So if you want to follow us over, hear a little bit more on Unashamed, check it out.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube. And be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.